Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything on the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. Hey, folks, we're a couple months into the year. You know, you're working, you've got a family. Big question is, how do you get the most out of your benefits? How to make dependent care, that daycare, work in real life? How to unlock those wellness incentives? How to avoid overpaying on prescriptions and other things? And how does one coordinate benefits with your life events? Now, we're lucky today. Our guest is Catherine Larkin. She oversees Vanguard's global benefit strategy. She shapes programs that support over 20,000 crew members worldwide. Catherine leads initiatives focused on health, wellness, financial wellness, paid leave, family benefits, flexible work policies. She ensures, which is really important nowadays, that they meet needs of the multi-generational workforce. Catherine, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate you being here to share this information.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to speak with everybody.
You know what? They're excited and waiting for you. So one of the first things I want to start talking about is this. We heard about these FSA and HSA programs. Most people don't understand how they work and how they can actually be a layer of savings. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Sometimes if you're in the right, depending on the program you're in, it's important to understand what you keep and what you lose. So let's start talking about that right there. So talk about, you know, the FSA and the HSA programs, okay, how they work, the ins and outs.
Perfect. So let's start with top of the mind, a health savings account and a health flexible spending account. There's a difference between the two. A health savings account, generally your employer will offer in connection with what's considered a high deductible health plan. So think about during your open enrollment period, you have a lot of choices and sometimes it can be very overwhelming. And I always say the best way to approach that open enrollment is just to step back and say, like, what do we do in our life through the year, right? Because everybody's life is so different. And only you kind of know what expenses you have on the medical side or what your utilization is. But a lot of times employers will offer what's called a health savings account, which is in connection with a high deductible health plan, or a flexible spending account. And the big difference out of the gate, I'd say, between the two of them is that one, you can keep forever, and one is a use it or lose it within the year. So let's take our health savings account first. A health savings account you contribute to on a pre-tax basis, and you can use it to pay for medical expenses now in real time, or it rolls over from year to year and can accumulate. So some individuals use a health savings account thinking really far out into the future about their retirement and how they're going to afford medical in retirement. Others, myself included, depending on where you are in life, might say, it's a nice nest egg, a nice way for me to be saving on a pre-tax basis for expenses I know I'm going to have. And if I don't have those expenses, I don't lose the money. I can have access to it into the future. That once I've put it in, think of it, it works a little bit like a bank account. Once I've put it in, I can take it out at any point in time, tax-free. It's going to grow tax-free and come out tax-free, as long as it's for medical expenses. The second type of account is what we call a flexible spending account, a healthcare flexible spending account. Also a great tool. So some employers don't offer health savings accounts, and that's completely fine. What they may be offering to you is a health flexible spending account. The great thing about a health flexible spending account is although it's a use it or lose it, so you put the money aside on a pre-tax basis to use within the year, whatever election you make, so let's say hypothetically my employer says you can put up to $3,400 in the account tax-free, whatever I elect is available to me on January 1st. So it could be a situation where when people think about timing and cash flow and how I'm going to do things, in a health flexible spending account, you elect the amount. It comes out of your pay prorated over your 12-month period, but the funds are actually all available to you on day one. And that's kind of the bargain that you make, that you say, I have all this available to me, but whatever I don't use for the year, even if it's come out of my pay, I lose. What's nice about both is the notion that ordinary type of expenses can be reimbursed. So if you think about things like over-the-counter medications, you can think about your big ticket items, like you had a surgery and there were extra costs associated with it. But it can go from big ticket to what I say, the smaller everyday items. Like in the summer, we're all buying sunscreen. Right? Like you're buying sunscreen. And it's those little savings that in my mind are ways that you're converting your hard-earned wages into a vehicle to make it work for you. Like there are certain expenses we all know we're going to have through the year. Like you're going to go to the dentist and have cleanings, and you may have a cost associated with that. You may have a child that's going to have, or yourself that'll have orthodontic expenses. And certain expenses, you may have certain types of therapies where a portion of it is being covered by your medical, but the other part isn't. So you can make these work for you. And the way I describe it is I say to individuals, just sit down, take an hour and mm-hmm. say, what do we actually know we spend money on? Or, and it could be even the easiest thing is kind of pulling a credit card statement if you use credit cards or banking and saying to yourselves, hey, let me take a moment to pay myself. Let me take a moment to say, what in the course of the year do we know we're spending money on? And even to be conservative as a baseline and say, okay, that's what I'm going to defer in my first year if I'm getting new to the accounts to kind of try it out. It's kind of simple ways of saying to yourself, if I know we're going to be spending this amount, let me make it work for us.
I think that's wonderful. I was just thinking back in my corporate life when we had two young kids and we started looking at this flexible spending because the previous year we did it, but didn't really pay attention. And all of a sudden it was gone and we went, whoops. And then we started looking at, okay, we're going to the doctors three times a year for this, the physicals, what have you. We have the dental stuff. And then at the time, what is it? That flexible spending account we were able to use on certain type of therapies and what do you call it? I want to say tutoring, but support help my daughter at that time. And we just figured out, okay, within $50, we're probably going to spend this. And this is what we focused on because then we knew it would be gone at the end of the year. So we really, really got it down to, you know, where it was. And then I see what you're saying about people use that health savings account as a savings vehicle. And that savings vehicle, I have parents that are in their late 80s that still have that health savings account, but now it's covering medical expenses. My dad just went through a heart procedure to cover all the excess from Medicare and stuff like that. I know other people use that money to actually fund their long-term care. It's one of those things where if you really plan on the short-term and the long-term, these both can work really, really well for you.
Yes. And I agree. And I think the nice thing about a health savings account is we all fear that unanticipated expense, right? We're all trying. Like if you think about it, everybody's going to work. You're doing your best to save. You have a lot of competing interests. And the nice thing about the health savings account, I feel like, is you can put money aside for that surprise so that maybe the surprise doesn't become catastrophic. And it could be that you're just contributing what you can, maybe $25 a pay or $50 a pay, like something, you know, but it grows over the years so that that if something comes up, like a surgery maybe you weren't expecting, or, you know, a colleague had a husband who had a stroke, and the different therapies that are required for that, that you maybe have a nest egg to help offset some of the expenses, you know. And it's really kind of, I say, like tricks to say, with little extra putting aside, like we can't always all anticipate everything, and everybody is really just trying their best. And I say it's trying to use the tools to help, you know, that to use them to your advantage. And the nice thing to what you were just saying about a flexible spending account is I was in a similar situation. I had a child that had occupational therapy, and our insurance covered a portion, and then there was a portion uncovered. So I knew we were going to have that each year. And in my mind, I was like, oh, but now I'm paying for this with pre-tax dollars. So I just saved our family some money. You know, because that's what you're doing. Is I said, I was able to take some of the dollars we knew we were going to spend, and I said, okay, I paid it with amounts that weren't taxed. And I would like do a little calculation in my head and say, oh, wow, it might be like a couple of family dinners. But I was like, oh, that's how maybe you can, like, in your world, in your budget, like say, oh, what I saved just on that pre-tax maybe is like a few nights out, or like part of our entertainment fund, that like you can start to in your mind say, how can we do X? Maybe getting our dollars to work for us a little bit better allows us that.
I agree. Actually, most people that watch the show know that I'm a colon cancer survivor, but that happened in my 40s. And that health savings account paid my deductibles for 2 years. It actually paid the offsets on chemo. Yeah. I mean, it was just one of those things where we thought, oh my God, our whole life's over. This is going to be so darn expensive. And actually the health savings account pretty much covered. I mean, we wiped out the health savings account, but hey, we had that avenue to go there, because we didn't spend all that much with the health savings account.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if you think about it too, you're like, probably gave you some peace of mind as you were going through treatment that you didn't have to go into debt to cover some of the expenses. You know, in a health savings account, the nice thing about it is it's one of those things that, and you can, to your point, use it in real time or save it and use it into retirement. So I do feel like it's the most flexible of the vehicles. So if an employer offers it, I say, you know what? The two accounts cover similar things. I tend to be of the avenue of the health savings account because you don't worry about losing it.
Yeah, never want to lose it. Hey, folks, stick with us right back. This is great information here with Catherine Larkin.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I want to thank you for tuning in and appreciate you sharing with your friends and family and associates. And you know what? All the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight, information here on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out our few affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. They're all dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Hey, you can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton, Insiders Club, get guest gifts, videos. I'll take you to the next level. And with that, I really want to get back to Catherine Larkin. Cameron, edit that. Todd, edit that out. We want to get back to Catherine Larkin. This has been wonderful information. But now, Catherine, we one of the big topics here is making dependent care work in real life. We're talking daycares, after school programs, camps, all that kind of stuff. How do we go about doing that? Because for all the moms out there, whether single or married, it's kind of onto them sometimes.
So as a mom, I have two children now who are older. So I have an 18 and a 20-year-old. So we had two working parents in our family. I am a dependent care user. I used the accounts from the time my daughters were born until they were 13 years old, and I could no longer reimburse things from the accounts. So I'm a big fan of them, actually, and very exciting. This year, the IRS finally upped the limits to be more in line with what daycare actually costs, because we know the cost of daycare in America and camps in America is no small feat. That we've actually, the limits are increased now to $7,500 a year, which is really nice. Like it had sat at $5,000 for probably 15, 20 years. And so those limitations have recently increased. But so let's talk about making them work, right? That daycare expense is expensive. We know that. The nice thing is, the way I would think about it is that a dependent care account, almost with your tax savings, you can maybe squeak out, like I say, a month of daycare that you actually didn't pay for, that it's money you're not paying over to the federal government in taxes if you utilize a whole account. But let's talk about how they actually work. So a dependent care account you elect during your open enrollment period, and they usually start on January 1st, and an employer will take the amounts out prorated over the course of the year. So if whatever you elect divided by how many pay periods your employer pays. And what you can do then is get reimbursed for expenses such as daycare. When you have school-aged children, don't forget about summer camps. If your school charges for an aftercare program, or you're in a YMCA aftercare program, because we know a lot of times the school day actually doesn't line up with the real world of working. And that if you have a before care charge or an after care charge, those expenses can also be reimbursed through the account. So if we think about the different kind of life cycle of having children, that you might have your babies through kindergarten, that it's a full day daycare expense. You might have school age children where you're trying to figure out before school, after school, and summertime. And all of those different expenses can run through a dependent care account. And the nice thing about that is that you actually can kind of have it coming from your check over time. And what I'll hear from people is, yeah, but it's such a hassle and it takes forever to get it back. And I'm like, but really, in this day and age, there's a lot of great administrators that most companies are using that. Normally, what I would do is take my first 2 months of daycare expenses and just make the claim. And then the actual money would be coming back to me as it was coming out of my check. So when my children were younger, when I say it, like babies through like six, before we started school, a lot of times, like your first 2, 3 months of daycare blows the budget for the year. If you think about like the account, two children and daycare. So what I would do a lot of times is submit those claims. And ultimately, like the claim was then residing with the administrator. And as the money was coming out of my pay, it was just getting direct deposited right back to me. So from a cash flow issue, it was coming back in real time. That's one trick. Another one is, when your children get to be school aged and you're thinking about camps, you've done a bulk of the savings before you're paying for the camp. And then at that point, you get reimbursed. Usually, a lot of the administrators require reimbursement once like the camp is over. So what I would do a lot of times is, like the Friday the camp ended, I would go home and submit. And the technology has advanced that so many administrators are using now, that a lot of times it's like a picture of your claim, everything's there, and it runs back through direct deposit. I say the nice thing about it is that camp's expensive. Or even I think about, there could be a family where, you know, somebody's working part-time, et cetera. Like, and summer camps are expensive, or you want to give your child the opportunity to attend a soccer camp or a dance camp. All that can be reimbursed through these accounts. So even if some people say, well, I've never needed one because I'm fortunate that my parents stay home and watch our children. Right. And I'd be like, that's wonderful. Like, if you have parents or family that are helping you out. But you might have a child that's like, I've always wanted to go to art camp. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, our budget doesn't allow us to afford for that art camp. Totally true. That can be in some families. This could be a way, though, where you're like, well, I'm going to incrementally save for it so that when the camp comes, we have a little way to afford it. Because I think everybody's in a different situations, that in some situations, camps may be a luxury or something you want to try to be able to provide, but you simply are thinking from a cash flow, how do we do it? That if you think about a dependent care account, where if you knew the cost of the camp, it's coming out over time, it might not be such a hit, or you might be able to budget around it and then get reimbursed right away through the account. So I always say that also don't feel limited with these accounts if it's a situation where you're like, well, we have help, we have help, we don't have the expenses. You might have some that are still able to be reimbursed or be able to provide something that you had thought, oh, that would be a stretch for us. It could be a way that you can get it to work for you.
Let's see. Okay. So the big thing is to really plan.
Plan.
The more you plan.
And the one thing that's interesting about all of these is their elections are usually made in the October, November, December timeframe, because once the calendar year starts, you can't just elect. So you have to be a planner. Now, when you have children and certain fixed expenses, you kind of can have an idea, to your point, like looking at the year before, like if your child's in daycare. Now, a dependent care account, just to backlog, you can always stop it if you need to. Like if, for instance, you had a situation where your child was in daycare, you lost your job, right? You would be able to stop the account. Or your child was in daycare, you and your spouse were both working, the spouse lost their job, you no longer needed the daycare. You could use that as an event to stop it on the dependent care front, that if you have life changes, you can stop it. So with certain events. But it does require some planning. But once you get in the cadence of it, it becomes like a muscle that you're exercising. And I always say that the best muscle to exercise is when you're sitting down during your benefits open enrollment. Like if you can set aside, and everybody's busy in life, but if you can set aside like 1 or 2 hours and say, like, what did this year look like for us? Like, what were we spending on? And can I get what we're always going to be spending on to work for us a little bit better? And by taking that hour or two, you could be saving so much in tax dollars that it's like you just paid yourself. Like, sit down and pay yourself.
That's a good way to look at it. Figure out how to pay yourself.
Yeah. But
you know what? It is so funny, because I was just envisioning the old meetings that we go to once a year. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, okay. All right, here we go. Click, click, click. I'm done. And you just don't want to do that. You really want to think it through, come there with a plan. So that way it'll make your life easier, far more tax efficient, and you'll have the benefits there, especially if you have the time to kind of add into those benefits for possible camps and things like that.
Right. And to your point, that's the trick. And I think we have to look at it as like employers are providing these benefits because they want you to have them. And especially benefits where it's your pay is being reduced and put into an account. Really what it's doing is your employer is saying like, hey, we want you to be able to save for things and we want you to have some tax efficient things. And then it's saying to yourself, like, if I can just carve like an hour or 2 hours out once a year, I could actually pay myself, and the value in what I've paid myself is worth it.
Oh yeah, especially if you can do things for your kids that you normally wouldn't do. And if you can look at it a couple of years down the road, you could be in a position where those camps are covered and you don't really have to stretch, which is nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it's because everybody's trying to do the best they can, right? We're all trying.
That's all parents.
Yeah. It's not easy.
this has been wonderful. Stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Karen Larkin and Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthy healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We're back talking with Catherine Larkin, head of global benefits for Vanguard. We're so lucky that she's here. But right now, folks, we're going to be talking about how to unlock those wellness incentives. Many plans, they reward annual physicals, screenings, premiums, credit, gift cards. You want to understand the steps, the deadlines, how to reward, how to get those rewards and apply for those rewards so you can capture your full benefit. So many people lose out here. So Catherine, help us walk us through this, how this, I don't want anybody to lose anything they're entitled to. And the problem is, I was just, one of the things when we were thinking about having you on, I was like, oh my God, there's so many things I just left on the table that I shouldn't have. So please share this with us.
By the way, we all feel that way because we're human. So let's start with that. But even an expert, like they say, sometimes the shoekeeper's children, right? So, but starting back, if we think about it, let's start high level. And I think that there has to be a notion that an employer really and truly went offering benefits really wants employees to take advantage of everything. Like they're not meant to be hurdles. They're more meant to like incentivize. And there's a kind of a notion of like a healthy population and credits. So I think when you start to talk about like wellness incentives and credits and how to maximize it, I think people have to start thinking about, like, I use this term a lot, paying myself. That like, if there's a wellness credit that says, hey, you go get an annual well visit and we'll give you X amount of money. Some employers might say $50, or if you do these three screenings, you get $50 and all you have to do is kind of apply. I view it as I was going to go do that anyway, and now let me pay myself for doing it. And I think that the most important thing is finding out kind of at the beginning of the year, you know, what's available to me. Most employers will have it readily available in the materials that are being provided to you. So sometimes you'll get like a host of materials during open enrollment. Other times you'll get materials right at the beginning of a year. I feel like everybody's mail gets stuffed between the different tax forms and the different, like, here's your card for X, here's your card for Y. Really to sit down, if possible, and take like 15 or 20 minutes and say, like, what's actually available to me? Because it could be a gentle reminder of, oh, you know what? I should get that screening. And the whole reason why my employer is offering me money is they actually would like me to be healthy. They would like to have me catch something early so that I can be healthy. And I like to view when employers offer wellness credits as gentle reminders and a point to say, like, we want you to be doing this. So do it. And the reason we're going to give you an incentive is at the end of the day, we just want you healthy. And we want to know, we want you to have a peace of mind. If you take that approach, I think that it works more to your advantage. And so the most important thing really is to look through, because it's usually within kind of your open enrollment materials, or at the beginning of the year, you'll find an onslaught of things, whether it's coming to you through emails or from the vendor itself. And now, modern times, there's a lot of like QR codes, that type of stuff. Take a moment and scan it, because it's almost like I say, like, everybody runs for a Black Friday deal. Think of it as like the Black Friday deal. like switch the mindset to be like, I'm willing to, like, you know, get online at like midnight on Thanksgiving to make sure I'm getting the best deals. A wellness credit is really meant to incentivize me for my health. That's how I really like to look at it, and start to like frame your narrative of, wait a minute here, I'm actually willing to go attack other deals. Why wouldn't I have the same plan of attack for my own health?
And you know what's really interesting about that is my son he works for a major company and all that stuff, but he realized that the same gym he goes to, he can go from paying $50 a month to $8.
Huge. That is huge. And a lot of companies do have that. A lot of companies have a situation where, you know, you go to a gym and you scan, and as long as you're using it two or three times a week, there'll be a reimbursement back. And it's like, it's things you're already doing. Like, you're already walking into a gym and showing, you know, to get in. And so that you can kind of reduce the prices of things. I think the biggest question I often get is people will say, but how do I find out? How do I know? In the materials you're getting, your employer, they do disclose everything. And sometimes too, take your insurance card and like call on the back to the customer service and ask. Like, if you really can't find anything, and they'll tell you, they'll kind of unlock things. But nowadays, I feel like with obviously like the internet and QR codes and smartphones, that information is pushed and the readily accessible, but you have to actually take the time to also say, all right, let me just start at the beginning of the year and say, like, what's available to me? You know, like, just like I would literally sit like on Amazon and be like, what's available? Think of it that way. And I think that you can really maximize some savings of expenses you're already incurring.
What is it? One of my friend's kids, they work for a company and they have an incentive to where if you can show you that you went to the dentist, got your physical and something else, they're giving a $100 gift card to everything from Lululemon to Starbucks.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like the funny part about it is this person actually started telling people at the office and they're like, what? Huh? Where did this come from? And that's the reality of it. Most people don't look because they get a lot
Right.
of stuff. And it's just like, I just got to get through this. And they can't do that. And you keep telling them, take an hour or two and read through this stuff.
I always say that in the benefits world, as employers, like, we really spend like a lot of time like putting together the offering, and in our minds, like, we're putting it together, we're putting out the communications, and I say, like, we take the road as far as we can take it, and then we need individuals to kind of pick it up and run across the finish line and do their part. But employers, when we're setting things up, I want everybody to take advantage of every single dollar and opportunity that we offer. That's why we're setting it up, right? That there's kind of a method behind it all, that wellness incentives and wellness credits, the reason why as employers we have them is we want a healthy population, right? We want individuals, or we want also somebody to catch something early. We want people to be able to have access to things. And so when they're being offered, it's really kind of, because sometimes in the world, we just need gentle reminders. Like, we all get so busy. And to your point, when you were describing like the wellness incentives, that like getting your well visit, doing these three things, a lot of times it's because we get so busy. So sometimes we all need to be incentivized, because we always, I feel like, working parents, you know, people, sandwich generation, young individuals coming right out of college, starting a career. Like, we all get so bogged down in life that we sometimes forget about ourselves. And as employers, when wellness credits and different things are being offered, it's really a gentle reminder to say, hey, you're important too. You're very important and we care about you. And we're kind of nudging you to do these things because we know how busy you are.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Now, here's the next thing. Most people don't realize this, but many benefits have decision support tools. They're like comparisons, network directories, pharmacy lookups. You know what? A lot of people don't realize that they could be overpaying. And quite frankly, if you can check it out now, you can check it out later and start saving. So, you know what? How you help people understand how these decision-making tools are, especially if they might need to switch a doctor or something like that.
A lot of times, so let's start with kind of like the main medical providers. Like, in the United States, there's like, you know, the big main providers. If you think about it, like your Aetnas, your UnitedHealth, like, let's start there, like the big ones. Their tools are unbelievable. They're like member login site. Like, you set up your login and you go in, and your employer at the time of your open enrollment provides you all the information as to, you know, who your carrier is, what they're doing. And if you go out to the sites, the tools now, to your point, are unbelievable. The comparison tools, the ability to have kind of the plan work for you, to be able to look up doctors, to be able to compare costs across based on what your employer has designed. And I think with AI and a lot of other things, they're making the tools even more intuitive to be able to kind of help people along the journey. So I like to say that what I've heard from people is like, oh my God, like I'm going to have a surgery. I don't even know what that means. Kind of your first stop should be with who is your carrier? Who is your insurance carrier? Like get out to their site and log in. And I'll say too that like sometimes I like forget my passwords and I'm like, what do we use for the password again? Like we're all human, right? Get your member login, get your password and go in. And sometimes I say play around on the site a little bit, take 15 or 20 minutes. And if we think about a lot of us doom scroll, right? I can get caught up in the Instagram world of like doom scrolling. Take some time and doom scroll on your own like medical plan sites, because you'll be amazed at what you can find and the different tools you can use that are out there. I do think that most of the providers in the marketplace now to stay competitive are actually offering, to your point, a lot of tools around like cost comparison, and it'll be lined up to what your employer has designed the plan around, because every employer designs their plan differently, might have different deductibles, different co-insurances, different networks. So the most important thing is when you're logging on to the member site, all the information will be geared towards what your employer has designed. So you're in real time allowed to see that. And so like I say, like take, you know, if you're a doom scroller or you're kind of a late night person, like switch over to a different site just once or twice and kind of do the scrolling and do the digging. That like some of our behaviors like is not even finding the extra time. It's maybe something we've always been doing, like checking on that like high school friend. Let's like take 10 minutes and check on our medical plan.
The other thing is, you know what? I'm just going to say this from a person who went through colon cancer and realized mm-hmm. the doctor I had wasn't as thorough as that person should have mm-hmm. been. And when I started looking after the fact, I found doctors that were far, far more mm-hmm. thorough, understood what was going on, and actually provided far better service than mm-hmm. the others. And the other thing I've got to make sure everybody understands, and I learned this going through my cancer, is doctors are like businesses. There's some wonderful ones, mm-hmm. and there's ones, some businesses are not so good. So keep that in mind. And I actually learned that from a healthcare provider. Mm-hmm. So going in and looking, I got lucky. The first three doctors weren't so good, but I ended mm-hmm. up went over at Scripps Hospital in San Diego, which is off the charts. And it's probably the reason why I'm here today, just because of what they did. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be, because if I stuck with the other people's process, I wouldn't have never made it. So I'm just saying, check and look, find the best people you can within your network to help you, because it'll make a difference in your life. So
and that's a really good point, Steve, even from your experience, because a lot of times now too, employers are engaging with what they call like second opinion services, different things. So also if something like that happens, similar to your situation, that a lot of times now employers or within plans themselves, there'll be a feature to get a second opinion, so that maybe you can, to your point, like your decision, like it's hard, right? You're choosing doctors, you're just getting a diagnosis that you maybe weren't expecting. It can be overwhelming. And you're like, how do I even go? Like what road? I'm finding more and more now too, a lot of employers like have added on to plans like a second opinion service that can maybe just help navigate, or within like the toolbox itself, to your point, the ability to maybe drill down and find out a little more information. The nice thing with the information age is that a lot of information now is becoming a little more readily available to help with those mm-hmm. decision points. So to your point, which you raise an excellent point, there's always amazing doctors, and there's some doctors like in business that you're like, maybe unfortunately they haven't sharpened the saw for a long time, and we'll
I was just gonna say that they're still old school, and you've got somebody yeah. cutting edge. So hey uh-huh. folks, stick with us. We're gonna be right back with more Karen Larkin and see right here on Saving Soon. This is wonderful. So stick with us, folks.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthy or happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Again, I want to thank you all for sharing us with your friends and family. We've got a lot of listeners, and we're just really grateful to have you. We're talking with Catherine Larkin. We're talking about benefits. So next, Catherine, I'd love to talk about mapping out fixed expenses to eligible benefits and also coordinating benefits with life events. Mm-hmm. I think both of those are very, very big. Yeah. You know what? How should somebody go about start looking at that, planning for those, you know, mapping those fixed expenses?
So if we start with, we'll do fixed expenses, then we'll talk about life events. So fixed expenses would be certain things you know you're going to have. We touched on daycare expenses or maybe certain therapies that you have. I always think to myself that sitting down, especially in the age of how we pay for things, a lot of times you can kind of pull bank and credit card statements and really, and they aggregate things for you to be able to kind of drill down and see what some of your expenses are, because I think it's where now we're focused on point of sale that you're not using cash as much. Where we don't use cash as much, we actually have like a good resource to be able to figure out like, what are we even spending on what? And I always say that whether it's the end of each month or each 6 month period, or at least before you go into open enrollment, try to get a run of your credit card and see if things are aggregated to get an idea of what you've been spending. That can help inform decisions around daycare expenses, around health expenses, et cetera. Then let's talk about the bigger thing is like life events. Like, what do I do if something like changes in my life? Like how do you even deal with that? I mean, there are expected life events and then unexpected life events. So if we start with maybe some expected that you can plan for a little bit more. You might know you're going to be having a child, which is a wonderful time in life. That knowing that when you're going into kind of your open enrollment, you might be able to say, we're going to have certain expenses next year that we didn't have this year. Let me do a little digging to say, are the maternity costs going to be covered? What are we going to need? And to be able to kind of save that in your accounts. There's also maybe some unexpected, unfortunately, right? That you might have a situation where you had a spouse pass away and suddenly you have a family on coverage, and what do we do? So if we start from a benefits perspective purely, if you have a major life event, that's always an ability to make changes to your benefits elections, meaning that let's say hypothetically you were a spouse, two children covered on your medical plan, and your spouse, an unexpected event happens and your spouse is no longer with us, you would have the ability to go back and change your election to be able to say, it's just going to be myself and my two children. And I know that sounds awful, et cetera, but that there is flexibility within the benefit structure when real life happens to be able to make the changes. Similarly, if you have a child, after your child is born, you have 30 days that you can add them to the medical plan, your plans on a prospective basis. Similarly, you have a child born during the year, and you're like, wait a minute, it's August. I didn't even think of that dependent care account. That's an opportunity to go in and elect a dependent care account even for the end of the year. So the nice thing is that within all of these plans, there's an understanding that life happens, and that there are rules around changes, but the rules can be pretty flexible, with this understanding that when life changes, you might need to make a corresponding election change. Mm-hmm. And so always don't feel stuck, that if something happens, the first place to go is call your, we say it's like, we use crew relations here at Vanguard, but call whomever it is in your benefits department and they will help you. Because I can promise you, I've never met an employer that doesn't want to help somebody when life happens, make a corresponding change to help them through the rest of the year.
You know what? I'm so glad you said that. So many people have emailed in and said, you know what? We've had these life changes and I just felt I was stuck till open enrollment. And now
you're
you just
not.
Let everybody know these are designed mm-hmm. to be flexible and you mm-hmm. need to go talk to your benefits provider to go and get that extra help that you need and understanding so you can make those changes.
Mm-hmm. And I will say a lot of times it's like a 30-day window that you have. So a lot of times the life event happens, and by the IRS rules, because of the fact that you're getting things on a tax-favored basis, it's like a 30-day window. So if something happens, just call your benefits people. They will help. I can tell you that that's what benefits professionals are usually probably some of the nicest people in companies. I say that being one. But really and truly, that there's a notion that like life changes for everybody. And so that there's an ability to make these changes, you're not stuck to open enrollment, that there are rules that actually allow changes when life changes.
That's wonderful.
But just be mindful, 30 days, because 30 days seems to be for most of the plans and most of the rules. So you have to do it within a 30-day period. So the best thing, just pick up the phone, or if you're a company that utilizes ServiceNow, different areas, like send a note and just say, what do I need to do? And I promise somebody will help you.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Now, here's the big thing. Coordinating life events. We talked about it a little bit. You know, one of the things that happened with me when I went through my cancer, mm-hmm. I had United Healthcare mm-hmm. and I just had the surgery because I had to go in for an emergency surgery. So it's like, mm-hmm. I actually went to a couple of bad hospitals, bad doctors, and then went to Scripps, and they had me in for an emergency surgery, had an emergency colon resection, and was in there 7 days. And I'm sitting at home, and I get a call from the gentleman at United Healthcare, and he goes, I'm your United Healthcare concierge. So let's start mm-hmm. talking about cancer. You're going to be going through chemotherapy, my understanding is. And here's the thing you want to start looking at. And it's just like, I was like, oh my God. And every piece of advice that person gave me was so spot on, so true, and yeah. made a difference through my treatment. And one time I had an issue where I was having a pain in my stomach about 4 months into, and you know what? I called the doctor who said, call me. And then I said, no, I'm going to call the concierge. And he mm-hmm. answered. And we're talking 11 o'clock at night in California. For that person, it's probably 2 in the morning. He answered mm-hmm. and says, you know what? If you gave a call to your doctor, she's likely going to be calling you back. But here's the situation. And this is what I'd recommend you do. And then my doctor called. And I'm like, I just thought to myself, he answered.
So, well, first of all, I'm so glad that was your experience. And A lot of medical plans do now have those concierge services. And the reason being is that you want people to be healthy. And when somebody's not feeling well, they don't want to go digging to find out all the information, right? You kind of need to have it fed to you. Like, to your point, you gave a great example. You're like, I had a major surgery. I just had some unbelievable news. Like, I'm like laying in bed. How am I even going to research to like be able to test it? A lot of times behind the scenes within plans themselves are the concierge services, especially when for maybe like a larger, longer term illness where there's going to be kind of a treatment plan. And those individuals, to your point, become your point of contact. They become kind of they are a concierge service. Most plans now do offer that within the structure because it actually even makes sense, because you want to help people navigate what they have and kind of what's available and how to be able to use things. Because when somebody's not well, you want to help bring them along. And the last thing you want somebody worrying about who's facing already treatment and everything is, what do I do? What doctor do I call? How do I get this reimbursed? So to your point, I would say to individuals who may be facing like something that is unexpected, to reach out even to the whoever the insurance provider is and say, do you have any concierge services? And at that point in time, if they haven't, they might be able to probably connect you with that, because they are amazing services, and they can see I feel like they see the entire game. They see the entire landscape and what's going to be happening, and they're able to help navigate through it.
Yeah, you know, I still remember, I just had the flashback. I still remember him saying, when you call, I'll answer. And I
yes.
never thought mm-hmm. that was the case, but it was. It was like, cool. So
yeah, and it's important, because the whole reason you offer benefits is you want individuals to be able to have them when they need them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, so I want to talk about a little thing called wellness stipends. How do they work? How can people take advantage of them? That's one of the big questions that people don't quite understand.
So every employer is different with a wellness stipend and will have kind of a different set of requirements around it. Some employers will say, oh, you can have X amount per year to use for things that you might want, like a gym membership or classes, et cetera. I think the way to think about it is it's another benefit. When you see like wellness stipends, it's another form of cash or another bucket to be able to use, but they're usually pretty customized from employer to employer. A lot of times it's just depending on where the employer kind of falls on the spectrum of, do we have the resources to dedicate to this, or are we spending our resources somewhere else? They're very customized. So in those situations, I highly recommend that you kind of find out what it is. And usually there'll be a strong list of, you know, like only X is reimbursed. Don't do Y. And really the landscape of employers offering it is so varied right now and across the board. And it also depends, like some employers just offer it as taxable, so it's a little broader, whereas other employers might say, we're tying it to certain behaviors and we want to fit in certain fixed rules to be able to possibly have some tax advantageous treatment. So those types of accounts, definitely the spectrum is so broad that I've seen everything that, you know, there could be lifestyle accounts, which could be taxable accounts, which could cover anything from yoga classes to children's activities to meal services to on the other spectrum of kind of accounts where it's like, if you're traditional, we will reimburse your gym membership only if you're going 5 days a week. So, and I think that, you know, employers really vary on the spectrum of what they're offering and why. And it really fits into the employer's overall benefits philosophy. There's no right way, there's no wrong way. It's another piece of the puzzle, but it's an important piece not to leave on the table. It's an important piece to make sure that you understand so that you're maximizing whatever's available to you.
Catherine, I want to thank you so much for being here today. This was so enlightening, and I hope it encourages people to go really, really look at their benefits and plans so they can get the most out of them. I mean, quite frankly, people can save a tremendous amount of money. And like you said, you could pay yourself if you do this the right way. So really, really look. So Catherine, I want to thank you for being here. Is there anything that you'd like to share or allow people to get in contact?
No, I'd like to thank you for having me. And again, I think maybe I speak on behalf of most employers, like use your benefits. Like there's a lot that goes into them. There's a lot of energy that's put in. Employers really have best interest at heart. So use them because they're actually part of your wages. So use them.
Catherine, thank you so much for being here with us today. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, I want to welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I truly appreciate you sharing with your friends and family and associates. All the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, AM/FM 247, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Hey, you can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. Go to the Insiders Club, the whole shot, get guest gifts, everything that goes along with it. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on right now with tech, okay? And let's really kind of take a look under the hood. Do you guys remember, maybe it was August of last year, 2025, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman admitted that AI, the AI revolution, was in a similar bubble to that of the dot-com era. And at that time, I found it highly unusual for someone whose wealth, employment, social clout is tied up with a particular technology to admit such a thing. And I was wondering what Altman knew at the time that led him to make that statement. Now, here we are, fast forward 6 months. We're starting to get a glimpse as to why he made such a statement. Shortly after his statement, AI companies began to stagnate. You go, since September 2025, they've traded sideways. Now, this brings me to two concerns that I have with what's going on with tech. First of all, it's the circular deals. Okay, you have Microsoft, NVIDIA, and other AI companies began investing billions of dollars in their customers who would then turn around and use the money to buy services for Microsoft and NVIDIA. And the second issue, issuing large amounts of debt. Think about it. Big tech, that Magnificent Seven, are the most profitable companies in history. Collectively, these seven companies generate $600 billion in operating profits. Yet despite this massive profitability, these companies are increasingly issuing debt to finance their AI spending. According to Bloomberg, these companies issued $121 billion in debt. In 2025, Google just announced it will issue $30 billion in debt that will mature in 100 years. When you take this all in over the last 6 months, the out-and-out bull case for AI trade is starting to show possible cracks. Remember, for months, Wall Street has been talking about this red balloon that's been floating around, getting larger and larger. And it sort of feels like it's moving closer and closer to that pin. You know, when a balloon hits a pin, you know what happens. You know what? And here's something else to think about. OpenAI claims to be a $1 trillion company, despite only generating $20 billion in revenue. And that's in the last month, NVIDIA has already pulled the $100 billion deal it previously announced, the original deal, which involved NVIDIA supported OpenAI in building 10 gigabytes of AI data centers, and it stalled due to the internal doubts within NVIDIA. SoftBank, one of the largest investors in OpenAI, revealed that has not committed to the next round of AI financing. What do these large companies know that is making them question these large-scale deals in which one of those most dominant in one of the most dominant players in the AI space? Folks, tech represents 35% of the S&P 500, 35% of the growth in the market. If there's little kinks there and the things start changing, it could reverberate through the entire market. So folks, now is the time to establish some guardrails, to make intelligent strategy adjustments and develop a precise exit strategy. Why? Because you need to be prepared for the good. How is your portfolio arranged for the good? The uncertain, how is that, you know, when things change, how is it going to, you know, you want to make sure your lifestyle becomes unscathed with your legacy intact and the bad. How are those losses going to impact your portfolio? Think about it. Retirees rely on investment income, face a double risk. Market downturns can erode principal just when you need to withdraw, and withdrawal timing can add like tax and income challenges. The goal here isn't to chase the headlines, time the market, but to protect your income streams and preserve capital for the long run. So folks, how are you or your advisor going to be prepared for the good, the bad, and the uncertain? I want to thank you all for joining us here on Saving with Steve. I truly want to thank you for sharing with your friends and family. Look forward to seeing you next week. Again, I want to say Catherine Larkin, the global head of benefits for Vanguard. What wonderful information. Look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving with Steve. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.